right, back here at Jimmy's on First. Joining us now on the radio show, the pride of Cascade High. He is the heart and soul of downtown Everett. You cannot walk through the streets of Everett without mentioning the name Steven Souza. Everybody knows his name. Ex-Mariner, ex-Ray. He's been all over the game, and now he's with us at Jimmy's on First, talking some baseball. Steven Souza Jr., how are you, pal?
What an introduction. Yeah, that was beautiful. If you could do that for my wife when I walk into the room every morning, that'd be wonderful.
What's your wife's name, by the way?
Michaela.
Michaela. Here we go. Michaela Souza, the best-looking wife on the West Coast. Unbelievable amount of patience and focus. She's the reason why this household stays together. Let's hear it for Michaela. Hey, man, do you miss it? Because I asked you off the air. You're not playing right now.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you sat on March 30th and did not have a baseball team to play for?
17 years ago.
Wow.
I was 17 years old, and it has just been, it's meant something different to my family opening day. So I've been pretty good in this retirement. This is a little weird, you know? This is weird watching this happen. There's always some excitement, and I'm you know, not sad, but, you know, it's a little disheartening to miss out on it.
Well, I was going
to
say, this is what retirement looks like right here, okay? You're staring at it,
okay,
at my face.
Okay.
It's not pretty.
At least I'm prepared for it.
Exactly.
You know?
The next time it won't be so bad.
Yeah, no
Well,
doubt.
A lot of excitement in the air, obviously. You'll be in the ballpark tonight as a fan, right,
yep,
watching
yep,
the game.
Yep.
Tell me about why people should believe that this is the god darn year that this thing finally comes to an end and this team plays for a title.
Yeah, so on championship teams, you have to have depth of starting pitching, right? So we got five starters that are really good, right? At least four that are top tier. If one of those goes down, we got Flexen to fit in there. If two of those go down, you've got Miller in AAA, or they've got a litany of guys, Emerson Hancock, that are really good prospects to come up and help. You need starting pitching to carry. The bullpen, top-notch, right? Like, they were the firemen last year to come and put out fires, one of the best ERAs in the big leagues last year.
Yep.
And then adding the pieces like Teoscar and Colton Wong to just solidify your team. The one missing piece, and I know we've talked about it a lot, is – if Kelenic can put it together, it lengthens their lineup out a lot. Now, if there's a hole in set 7, 8, 9, that's tough, right? They got to go find someone to replace that, because you need a long lineup to score runs in the playoffs. So if Kelenic can go and carry on what he did, which I think he will, this is the year.
Well, all right, let's just start there, because the lineup is out for tonight's game. Julio leading off, Colton Wong second, Ty France hitting third, Teoscar in the cleanup spot, Cal Raleigh at five, Gino hitting sixth, and then it's Kelenic, it's La Stella, and it's J.P. Crawford.
Yeah.
So the bottom of that lineup, because you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Talk to me about 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, and here's what I think DePoto and Service are trying to do. They put those three lefties together against Bieber, right, to match it up, and then to be able to kind of mix and match, you can plug in Pollock there. You can, you know, eventually you can plug in Demo there and kind of rotate, because those guys at the top, you're probably not mixing and matching those very much.
Right.
But it's just being able, those guys have to figure out a way to really just set the table for Julio and Ty France and Teoscar and let those guys drive in runs. And if you get more than that from Kelenic, then you're talking some big business.
Steven Souza with us from Jimmy's on First. What have your interactions with Julio been like? Tell me.
I mean, from the moment he was in camp, I was confused, because I was like, you're not supposed to be this mature at 19 years old, you know? Just in the conversations, there's so much confidence. There's a fine line of cockiness and confidence, and I believe that cockiness is, you don't really believe you're that good, and you're trying to make sure everybody knows you're good.
Yep.
Julio's confident.
Right.
He knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows what it's going to take. And no matter if he struggles, which we saw last year from April and May, he's going to bounce back. To me, I said this to you before, is it's a sheer sign. When you struggle like that as a rookie,
right,
and you finish like you did,
right?
I mean, the sky's the limit for that kid.
Why will things be different out of the gate for him this year versus last year, you think?
Yeah, there's no – like, when you get to the big leagues, especially coming from, what was he, in high A last year? That's a huge adjustment, right? Like, the pitching, there's a third deck they add in this league, you know? There's a lot to travel. There's so much that you're trying to, like, understand when you get here. And then the baseball, you know, comes along with it. He's got all those things, right? So he should hit the ground running, especially being in the WBC, already at a high competitive level.
Yep.
I can see him running like out the gates hot and running for the MVP.
I asked Jerry DePoto. He was here a couple hours ago, and I asked him, and I actually put my New York lunatic crazy baseball fan costume on and said, how can you have a guy with a sub-800 OPS with 40 lifetime home runs as your freaking DH? And he said he hits righties.
Yeah.
He hits righties. Yeah. And you got a righty in Bieber tonight on the mound.
Yeah.
270 with a 749 OPS against righties. Not phenomenal, but I guess he hits righties. Is that a good enough excuse for you to have Tommy La Stella on this roster?
Yeah, he's a high contact guy, right? And so being able to set the table and, you know, it's more like what's my other options, right? And
so there are none.
There's not that many, right? So you could put AJ in. If AJ's getting hot and he's rolling, you might plug him in there. But you brought him in here to hit lefty, so you're going to see what you got in La Stella at the beginning. La Stella's a good hitter, man. Like, he's been bitten by the injury bug a couple of years in a row, and when he was with the Giants, he had some crucial ABs in the playoffs that we played against him, and, you know, he can really grind out in a bat, and I think that's what they like about him. He'll take his walks.
Yeah.
He can foul a ton of pitches off. He's going to give you fits so that when you get back to that top of the order, you're a little worn down, and that's what you need from a guy like that.
Do you think they'll eventually say on the 31st of July, hey, we're 8 games up on a playoff spot right now.
Yep.
Unless we totally collapse here, we're playing in October. We need to have a better option at DH come October. Will they get to that spot and do something about it, you think?
Yeah, I think you have 3 months, 4 months to figure that out,
right?
Like, if A.J. Pollock and Tommy La Stella and Dylan Moore, they're not working out, if you're going to go make a serious run, you got to go figure out a way to get that extra bat, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No matter what it takes, because it is nice to be able to rotate through, but you can get an elite player if those guys aren't working out. I think out of all those guys, I think at least one of them will work out, you know, to be able to create some depth.
Mm.
But if it doesn't, then, you know, being able to rotate through that DH, let Julio take a day off, slide Kelenic into center field, get him off his feet. There's some real value to that, I think, instead of running those kids out every single day.
Well, I tell you, my dream scenario, Steven, and Steven Souza's with us on the air, and I mean, like, this is obviously just completely just a pipe dream right now, but there's a guy in L.A. who's about 6 months away from being a free agent. Right?
Are you talking about Ohtani?
I'm talking about Shohei Ohtani.
Okay.
Is the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't think he signs with anybody until November. I think he's going to take this all the way to the end of the year.
As he should.
And he's going to become the most coveted free agent in the history of sports, by the way. And he'll get $1 billion from somebody.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the Angels are out of it like they always are in July, are they going to move him? And is it worth giving up? Let's say, for example, the Angels call you and say, okay, fine, you can have Ohtani, but we want Harry Ford and Emerson Hancock for 2 months of Shohei Ohtani. Do you do it?
I would do it. If they're gonna, if they give me that, because here's the reality of that situation, and we texted back and forth about this a little bit. Shohei Ohtani is one of the best pitchers in the game and one of the best hitters. So
that's right.
You're trading two players.
Who gets bumped out of the rotation? If you pick up Shohei, let's live in dreamland for a second. If they get Shohei Ohtani at the deadline, who gets bumped from this rotation for him?
I mean, I'm bumping Marco, right?
Like, he's already out of it. They got Flexen in there, and he's killing it right now.
And I'll bump. I would trade Flexen and Marco and then Harry Ford and Emerson Hancock if you told me I had Shohei Ohtani for a playoff run.
I mean,
that's like legendary,
it.
Right?
Yes.
You're going for it. The city gets behind it. The players see that. Like, I don't know. I would give up anybody I could if I had a realistic shot to go win the World Series.
Well, David Sampson was with us yesterday. He's the former president of the Marlins. He now does a podcast. He was on the air with us yesterday, and I asked him, is it worth it to get a guy for 2 months just so you can show him around and maybe can take a couple months to convince him this is the place you need to be? He's not buying that. He says that's nonsense. He says Shohei Ohtani is going to take the biggest bag he can find. Hmm. He also said, and I think you've gotten to know Ichiro a little bit. You bumped into him before.
Yeah.
He said that he's concerned about Seattle and Ohtani because he thinks that Shohei Ohtani may think of that as disrespectful to come play here because he's stepping on Ichiro's territory.
Yeah.
You buy that at all?
Yeah, they're a huge honor culture, right? Like, you saw when Ichiro retired in Japan and Yusei Kikuchi, he kind of broke down, right? Like, they revere Ichiro over there, and it's much more of like, you know, talking to Ichiro, I remember last year, it's like they bow to each other because it's a sign of respect. When Shohei Ohtani sees Ichiro, he lowers his head because it's like, this is the guy that I'm trying to follow.
Yep.
So there may be some reality to that. But if they give him the biggest bag, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
It'd be amazing. Well, Steven Souza's with us. We can put that on the back burner, obviously, for a couple months. But tonight, one of the things I'll be keeping an eye on is Jared Kelenic. And Jerry DePoto was with us, like I said, a couple hours ago and talked a lot about his body language, right? Like his affect. Is he throwing helmets? Is he getting mad? Is he shrugging his shoulders? And he said that he's not seeing that as much out of Jared Kelenic. I'm not sure how much of him you saw in the spring, but... Okay, so how much of that did you see?
Yeah.
And number two, if that's no longer there, what does that really mean when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I don't know that it means a lot in spring training, to be quite frank with you. I think that at the end of the day, I want to see how it all plays out in this first month.
Right.
This first month is like make or break. And I mean that because, like, he's gotten off to slow start after slow start after slow start, right?
Right.
And so I want to see how he responds to that. That being said, I do think maturity-wise, I think having struggled this long, having some success in the playoffs, I think he's ready. I think he's ready for the adversity. I think he's learned from the failures.
Love it.
And he's ready to grow through it.
Does he think to himself, I got like a month to prove myself? Because he's not stupid.
Yeah.
He knows he can't hit .150 and stay on the roster the entire year,
right,
obviously.
Right.
Does he think to himself, this is a pretty freaking important month for my career?
I think he knows it is, but he can't focus on that. So.
Right.
To me, in talking with him, he's so concerned about the process. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I know I need to do to be successful. And I can't worry about that because I don't have any control of that. If I can do these things like I did in spring, then I'll take care of that month.
I am looking through my text, by the way. Steven Souza is with us on the radio show. I'm trying to get the exact quote that you sent to me a few weeks back when you said that Robbie Ray is going to end up being the best starter in this rotation.
Yeah.
So why do you believe that?
I believe that just because if you look at a lot of the guys around the league, the first year they go over to an organization, they're not themselves. They struggle a little bit. There's this sense of comfort that they're not used to, especially with a big deal. Going over 1 year and you got to prove, there's a little bit different story on that. Rick Porcello going from Detroit to Boston, terrible that year. Now, Robbie wasn't that bad. But the next year, Rick Porcello came back and won the Cy Young. I think between that and Robbie adding the splitter and seeing his uptick in velo in spring training, because last year in spring training he was like 89, 91, and that was a little concerning. And he got to the season and it was about the same. He was 94, 95 with a good splitter. I think that all those things together, he's going to be the best pitcher on the staff.
Okay, so he'll be the best pitcher.
Yep.
Who's got the best stuff in this rotation in your mind? Maybe even the highest potential.
Yeah, George Kirby.
Why?
George Kirby for sure. The ability to control four pitches that are elite in the zone.
Yep.
There's not that many guys in the big leagues that can do that, right? Like he had a 23-inning scoreless streak last year.
That's right.
And to be able to do that as a rookie, his composure is really good. And when your composure is good on the mound as a young kid and you have four elite pitches like that, watch out. You know, I it wouldn't be a shock to me if George Kirby was starting game two or game one in the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, Steven Souza's with us, and obviously this is about the Astros when it comes to the West, and it might be about the Astros when it comes to the league, meaning getting by them in the ALCS. You know, we talked about this last year that would have rather seen the Yankees in the ALDS and then played them in the third round, obviously. But what does their roster look like compared to what it looked like a year ago? And how much closer are the Mariners to them right now?
You know, adding Jose Abreu was tough. I mean, that's a good add. That's a former AL MVP. And they responded with adding Teoscar, you know. But losing Altuve hurts. And I think this is for these next 2 months, they have an opportunity to get out ahead with Altuve behind, because you can't replace Altuve.
That's right.
I mean, he's one of the best. So.
You ever met him, by the way?
Yeah,
he's
great.
What kind of guy is he?
He's great, man. I know you guys don't want to hear that.
No,
but,
it's fine.
I honestly, I was in camp with him in 2021, and I thought that he was a fantastic human. I've known him since 2007. He was in the Gulf Coast when I was in the Gulf Coast. Nothing but the utmost respect for Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think what happened in the playoffs – the Mariners feel like they should have won that series.
Oh, yeah.
They're a couple pitches away from winning that series. And so you get to that big moment when everything's on the line and then the 18-inning game here. Now you know that, like, you can beat them. You're chasing them all this time. You get to that series and you actually have a real taste of reality.
Yeah.
I think if it comes down to it, I think they're the better team at the end of the day.
Steven Souza, before you go, I'm just curious, because we brought up Altuve there. What do players really think about the Astros cheating scandal? Is it a big deal to you?
No, it used to be. It used to be, yeah. I think that the more knowledge that's come out, I think we know that a lot of teams were doing, maybe not to that extent. I mean, that was a pretty elaborate scandal they had going on over there with a trash can and a TV and
that's right.
all that. I don't think the buzzer, I don't buy the buzzer thing. I think that's pretty risky. And I think knowing Altuve's character, I would feel like, man, imagine someone, you know, seeing it. That would be disastrous.
Yep.
But I think that people have moved on, right? And now they won it last year.
Yep.
And that to me, that's a race kind of like, hey, these guys are talented, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
They needed to do that to kind of put that to bed, and they did that. So I think everybody's kind of moved on.
No doubt. All right, Steven Souza, former National, former Ray, former Diamondback, former Cub, former Dodger, former Mariner, former Astro. Do I have it all? Is that right?
Did you say former Cub?
I did not. I did. I did say former Cub. Man, that's pretty good.
You're pretty good.
It's not bad.
You're on it.
You know what that means? You're getting invites for Old Timers Day for like half the teams in baseball, by the way.
I'm available.
In 20 years from now.
I'm available.
What are you doing these days? Tell people.
Man, I've got a facility based by pros up in the area, and right now we're just trying to get kids in who are struggling during the season.
Okay.
Can't find your swing right now, so come in, and we've got this amazing machine that is able to repeat pitches and kind of give you live at-bats. It's called the Elite Hack. Us and the University of Washington are the only ones that have it in the Northwest.
And that's up in Linwood, right?
That's up in Linwood, yep,
wow.
Off 99. So if you want to get some at-bats during the season, some cage rentals, some training, come on down to Linwood.
I want to check that out. Base by Pros Academy.
You need some personal training before you get to that
I need
machine.
A lot of stuff, by the way. Can you help my golf game, by the way? If you can do that, I'm coming up there.
That I can't. Okay? That I can't.
BaseByProsAcademy.com is the website. Check it out to find out more about what Steven's doing. All right, dude. Hey, enjoy the game tonight. When was the last time you sat in the stands as a fan?
Long time ago. You know what? I used to go in the minor leagues. I wanted to always watch the big leaguers and see how they played the game and got ready. And so now I'm just going to have a beer and enjoy the game.
Yeah, have two. All right?
Just for you.
Have at it, dude. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate you coming over.
Thanks for having me
Steven on. Steven Souza Jr. with us on the radio show. What do you say we get a break? We keep talking Mariner baseball, though. Game one tonight coming up at 7:10. Corey Brock going to join us in studio. Excuse me, in person at Jimmy's on First. Next on 93.3 KJRFM.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
The Final Four.
I don't know what it is about baseball themes, man. There's so many good ones. They all get me. The This Week in Baseball theme, the old NBC baseball theme from back in the day, the old CBS theme from back in the day. You got a favorite childhood, old school baseball theme there, Corey?
It's this week in baseball for sure.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, it's just so old school. And that was the only way back in the day, Softy. You remember, that's the only way you can figure out what's going on anywhere else.
Absolutely. Had no idea. That and the freaking newspaper.
Remember those?
Well, vaguely. Yeah. It's kind of starting to get a little fuzzy, to be honest with you. Well, we're back here at Jimmy's on First, getting ready for game one of 162 at 7:10 tonight. Mariners guardian Shane Bieber against Luis Castillo, and Corey Brock from The Athletic is swinging by. Chuck Powell, I know, is in the house because I just saw him. Or a guy that looks like Chuck Powell. So he'll join us at 5:30 tonight. Brett Boone's coming up at 5:00 tonight. Steven Souza, Corey, was just with us last segment. He says that by the end of the year, Robbie Ray is going to be the best starting pitcher on this staff, but that George Kirby has the best stuff. What do you think?
I totally agree. Wow. I mean, again, I don't want to shortchange Luis Castillo, who I'm still marveling at that performance he had after the trade deadline last year and in the playoffs. He was fantastic. I think Robbie Ray was just off the charts this spring, and I've always believed in Kirby's stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't walk anybody, but he might have the most dynamite pitch mix of any of those guys.
Right. Well, let's talk about Robbie Ray for a second, because I texted you when Steven was on the air with us and said, hey, Hisashi Iwakuma flew into Arizona from Japan and taught this guy a splitter over the offseason, and now you're seeing it. How effective has that pitch been in Peoria?
It's good, and he's kind of ditched, I think, the two-seamer. So now you got to remember, the fastball and slider are really good pitches for him. And you never want to get beat. There's an old saying, you never want to get beat on your third best pitch, right?
Right.
So I will be curious, Softy, as to how many times he throws it. And it's not an easy pitch to throw. I mean, you got to have like big hands, big fingers in order to get the right action on it. But boy, if he mixes that in with the other stuff, I think it'd be devastating.
Well, Corey Brock is with us on the radio show, and obviously this rotation looks as good as it's been in franchise history. We talked about the 2001 team, and you had guys like Paul Abbott, and you had John Halama. I love Paul Abbott, and I love John Halama, right? Yeah. I mean, those are friends of mine from way back in the day. But these guys are better. The back end of this rotation, George Kirby is better than John Halama, right? Logan Gilbert's better than Paul Abbott. I'm not sure if I've seen a deeper rotation in this 47 years, man.
Well, that team you were describing, they scored like 8 runs for those guys time out.
That's right.
But, yeah, from top to bottom, I think the rotation is dynamite. And I think probably it's going to go down as maybe one of the most underrated moves of the offseason, not trading Chris Flexen. Because, you know, they went through last year with so much good fortune in terms of good health. And you may go another 75, 100 years without that happening. I mean, we saw some guys go in the DL today, on opening day.
Right.
That's
right.
A tough one.
But including Mitch Haniger, by the way.
Yeah, Mitch Haniger. Max Fried of the Braves had a hamstring. Verlander went on the IL today. But they're in good shape. They have good depth, and they have some good arms behind there.
Well, the Flexen thing to me is interesting, Corey. And Corey Brock, again, from The Athletic, is with us on the air from Jimmy's on First, just across the street from the park. Because I love having him on the roster, and I'm with you. And I told this to Dick. I think there's going to be a point in time this year where we look at Chris Flexen and thank God they didn't move him.
Yeah.
What could they have gotten for him, though, if they wanted to move him?
Not as much as maybe they could have got at the trade deadline last year. Listen, he was a guy that was asked about a lot at the trade deadline last year, but certainly felt like they couldn't move him at that point. And I think the return is always going to be better at the trade deadline because teams are absolutely desperate.
Right.
But as opposed to spring training or late in spring training, when most of these teams have their rosters kind of set. So your return for Chris Flexen right now, who's going to be a free agent after the season, isn't worth it.
Yeah.
His best worth is to you right now, here.
Well, Jerry was with us a couple hours ago, and I asked him, does he believe in the idea that you can get a guy who's in a contract year, and maybe, just maybe, you'll get a little bit of a bump because that guy's playing for something at the end of the season. Do you buy that could be a positive for Teoscar Hernandez, or does that stuff just exist in my ridiculous brain over here?
No, but your brain is ridiculous. But no, I think there's some validity to that because, let's be honest, where Teoscar Hernandez is in his career, he's probably got one more big payday out there for him, right?
What is he, 30? Is that right?
Yeah,
31?
Yeah. But so, you know, it would behoove him to go off this year. And, you know, he has that kind of all-fields power. And his power will play anywhere, including here. So, yeah, I think it's a good situation. I don't know what their interest level is in retaining him or moving forward with him, or if they're saving all that money to make a run at Ohtani.
Yeah, well, okay, so you bring that up, and I got to be honest with you, man. I feel kind of bad talking about it because here we are. It's game one. We got 4 months to go until the deadline.
Right.
But I can't stop talking about this guy. Right, I mean, I'm just enamored with Shohei freaking Ohtani.
That's
ever
fine.
Since what he did a year ago, ever since the World Baseball Classic, I cannot get my mind off the idea of making a run at this guy. David Sampson is the former president of the Marlins, who does a podcast now. He was on the show with us yesterday. He's fantastic on the air, by the way. If you never heard him, you should check him out. He says the price to get him at the deadline will be so stupid that nobody will do it. It'll be so ridiculous for 2 months of Shohei Ohtani that nobody will trade for him unless they're guaranteed they can re-sign him, and he thinks he's going back to the Angels.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I think the big sweepstakes is going to be next winter. I just don't think any of these teams could pony up enough for what the Angels want or really should get in return for him. So, you know, if he hits free agency, if and when that happens, you make a run at him then. We do know the Mariners were a finalist before.
Right.
He obviously had some feelings about this organization. I still can't sit here and tell you why he ever signed with the Angels.
Right.
I thought it was going to be the Padres or the Mariners.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. If they pony up that money, I think they got a decent shot.
Well, somebody needs to get to Ichiro and get him off his ass and get this done, right? Because he could be the conduit between the Mariners and Shohei Ohtani. And Samson made the point on the show yesterday that he's wondering if Shohei Ohtani would maybe bypass Seattle because he would think he would be stepping on Ichiro's toes, that this is his territory, right? And doesn't want to get involved, and this is Ichiro's team, and blah, blah, blah. You buy any of that at all?
No, I had never heard of that, and it's interesting to hear it, but no, I don't think so. I think that would end up with a conversation with Ichiro, and
right.
I think you should lean on him to try and sell the job a little bit, especially since you let Ichiro suit up and take batting practice and catch fly balls out here.
That's right.
The least
That's
he could
right.
do is kind of be the pitch man for the Mariners.
I got a text from a buddy of mine. Actually, it's that guy sitting right there who texted me yesterday. He was at the Derby and said, did we sign Ichiro? Because he's out there in full uniform. running around, catching fly balls, shagging balls for these guys. What's your relationship like with him? Have you talked to him much at all?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I could think of other things I'll be doing when I retire than sports writing.
That's right. You'll be acting like a sports writer, but not getting paid to be a sports writer.
Yeah.
Corey Brock is with us on the radio show. All right, so Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Why will this be the year that he makes a run at the MVP and becomes the face of Major League Baseball, at least on the West Coast?
I really have trouble coming up with any tangible evidence as to why he won't succeed. Like, if you're trying to pick apart his game and try and find holes in it, I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Now, he did something last year that I thought was very impressive and well beyond his years. You remember in April when he really struggled in April, and he was getting dinged on strikes outside the strike zone by
right.
the umpires.
Oh, squeezed, yeah.
Oh,
time,
bad?
Right.
Really bad, to the point where the Mariners complained about it, right?
Yep.
But he didn't chase those pitches.
Right.
He stayed patient. He stayed true to his process, true to himself. And eventually those guys had to come in the strike zone, and when they did, he took advantage of that. I just don't see any holes. He could run. He could play defense. He has power. We haven't seen anything like this here in a long time. Apologies to King Felix.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, from a position perspective, we haven't seen it since 24.
Yeah.
Obviously. Corey Brock with us from The Athletic, and I asked Steven this question. I want to ask you the same thing. How big is the gap between the Mariners and the Astros, and has it closed since last October?
It's not 16 games.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to finish 16 games behind the Astros.
Okay.
The Astros, it's still
I'm
their
division. Quote you on that, by the way.
Yeah, please do. Well, it's still their division. It's right. their division until it's not, right? But I think they're vulnerable. And also, you don't have to play them as many times this year with this new balanced schedule. So I think there's a chance to make a run at them. I like the Mariners pitching. I like the Astros pitching, too.
Okay.
But I think there's no reason to think that the Mariners can't overcome them.
What's the concern? If there's one concern about this team starting tonight, what would it be?
It's just health.
Yeah.
It's just health. And, you know, we talked about this, Softy, January, February. I thought maybe they're a bat shy coming out of the offseason. I don't know what that looks like or who that could have been, but I thought maybe one bat shy.
Yep.
But yeah, for them, unlike some of these other teams, like what are the Pirates talking about today? You know what I mean? With the Mariners, it's just good health.
Right.
It's and those guys just performing up to their capabilities.
What is going on with Brian Reynolds, by the way? All we heard all offseason long, Brian Reynolds this, Brian Reynolds that. He's still in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, well, supposedly they're trying to work out a long-term deal there, which he didn't seem all that interested in staying there. But
no, not at all. All right, man. Hey, have fun. Do you enjoy this?
I enjoy it.
All these media guys say, I don't root for anybody. I don't care if they win or lose. I think that's nonsense. I think you guys love it when the Mariners win. You love it when people are excited because it's more fun.
I love quick games. But no, I will say, opening day special, Softy. Opening day 1986, I went with some friends from high school, Peninsula High School in Gig Harbor.
There you go.
We came up. And we sat in the upper deck in left field. Jim Presley tied the game with a homer in the bottom of the ninth. Jim Presley, walk-off grand slam on opening day.
Wow.
I was there.
You are making me feel old, pal. By the way,
this
crowd here for you is ridiculous. Everybody just wants
–
they're all leaning in to hear what you have to say. It's like you're about to give away free candy when this thing's over.
Did you bring any free candy?
No, I got nothing. Hey, let's hear it for Corey Brock, everybody, with us on the radio show.
I hope my mom's listening, Softy.
All right, man. We got a break. Good stuff. We'll talk soon, buddy. Appreciate it, pal.
Yeah, thank
you. Corey
Brock
with us on the radio show. Man, Jackson, I feel like we should just take a freaking segment to breathe here, for God's sakes, and talk about what the hell's going on here at T-Mobile Park across the street. Look at that line. That line's unbelievable.
Oh.
That line's going to take you 6 months to get in that ballpark. May as well stay here and keep drinking, baby. Jimmy's on first. Brett Boone's going to join us at 5 o'clock, and then Chuck Powell, in person at 5:30 tonight, right here on 93.3 KJR-FM.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3, KJR-FM.
The Final Four.
Tommy La Stella has a 736 OPS, Jerry, and he's got 40 home runs lifetime. How can he be your DH?
He hits righties, you know, and part of what we did with this roster is we built matchups that we thought were to our advantage. And
okay. There's a little context there, Jackson, for God's sakes. Huh?
Well, I mean, how long of a clip do you want me to play coming into this segment?
Well, okay, first of all, Chuck Powell, the franchise, the morning show magician, has just swung by. He's fresh off his nap. He's powdered his nose. He's taking a shower. All right, he's had four beers, so we're going to give him a timeout at 5 o'clock, have him come back at 5:30. But I wanted to play that for you because DePoto sat down with us, and I said, let me put my lunatic New York East Coast baseball fan costume on for a second. I got to bust your balls about Tommy La Stella. And you heard the answer there. He said he hits righties. That's why he's on the team. That's why he's in the lineup tonight against Shane Bieber. So, hey, look, I mean, you can polish a turd any way you want. But are you buying that logic for Tommy La Stella on this roster as the DH because he hits righties?
No. I don't think he'd be on the roster if Dylan Moore didn't get hurt.
Right.
But
right.
Since he is on the roster, because you needed the infield depth, you needed an infield utility-type player without Dylan on the team. Because of that, you're facing a righty. Why not put him in the lineup? I mean, you've invested a little bit in him.
Right.
You might as well see what he can do. Bieber's a nasty pitcher, so I'm not surprised that he's in the lineup. But I don't think he would have even made this roster because of the way Hummel performed.
Yep.
If not for the Dylan Moore injury, I don't think he'll be here for long. That's my honest take on
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha. So if you want to see Tommy La Stella play baseball,
get to the park tonight.
That's right. Get your ass down here right now because it could be over before it starts. Hey, Jackson, we should play for Chuck. And if we can't get it this segment, we should do it at 5:30. The Mount Fain clip we played yesterday on the radio show.
Oh, I have it. Give me like
you got
literally
it? Okay.
10 seconds.
Because this was you and Bucky came into the studio. Remember that?
Yeah.
With me and Dick.
Yes.
And we were talking about the lack of movement and free agency.
Yeah.
This is, I believe, after they signed Teoscar Hernandez, but before they signed A.J. Pollock. And I said, look, we want more. And I remember you saying, I want more too.
Yeah.
But let's wait. Let's see what happens between now and today, March 30th. And let's give them a break and see what kind of moves they make between then and now. Well, outside of A.J. Pollock, they really haven't done much of anything. And so, Jackson, do we have the clip, by the way,
ready?
Yeah,
this is December 7th.
Okay, December 7th, all right, which is a day that will live in infamy now for other reasons. Dick Fain proclaiming on the air that everyone has a right to be upset, but let's let this thing play out and not judge the book before we get to the final chapter. Check this out.
There's still a portion of the fan base out there that is unhappy. I mean, welcome to having a good baseball
team.
But
like Chuck just said, he and I will both be unhappy on April 1st when the season starts if they don't fill these holes. And people are bitching in December.
Well, let them bitch. Who cares? So what?
You know, Jerry DePoto is an unusual GM, and he holds his cards away from me where everybody else can see, and he said he's going to make another move. And I believe when he says he's going to make another move. And it might not even be a free agent move. It might be a trade move.
Okay, that move was A.J. Pollock.
Yeah.
So he spoke for you.
Yeah.
Dick spoke for you and said you'll be disappointed if there's nothing done by the 1st of April. Here we are.
No, I think disappointment is a good word, but I'm not worried. I'm not panicking about it. I think the lineup is better than it was a year ago, and I still think that when the time comes, I've said this before on my show, John Stanton might not be the owner that you want him to be, but as long as he's the owner we need him to be, he made the big move for Castillo at last year's deadline. If this team has a similar hole this upcoming year, and I'm just going to extend him the opportunity to fill that hole.
Right.
We need to be at our best at the playoffs.
Right.
That's when you need to be your best. So, yes, disappointment. Yeah, I'm disappointment. If you wanted me to be outraged, I guess I didn't reach the point of outrage.
Yes, I want you to be outraged.
Over the
offseason.
It's
better to let it out, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm not. I think this lineup is better. I think the pitching staff's ridiculously good. I think this is a 90-plus win team, and they're going to be extremely dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there are going to be moves made in season that are going to supplement whatever holes you have. And I am absolutely on board with seeing what we have in Jared Kelnick, if that was a flukish spring or if he's actually ready to take a spot, because that fills an awfully big hole.
Yeah, I want to talk about that at 5:30, by the way, and really break down Kelnick's game at 5:30. But go back to what you said about John Stanton. So he's not the owner that we want. He's the owner that we need.
No, I said, as long as he's the owner that we need.
Need, okay. Because I want my wife to dress up like Leia from Jedi. I don't need that, but I would really like to have it. So what are we
That's not going to make or break your marriage.
No, but it could add to it. if she puts on the bikini, right, from Return of the Jedi, I would really, really like to have that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't need it.
Uh-huh.
So what do we want from John Stanton versus what do we need from John Stanton?
Well, I mean, what you want, I would assume, as a sports fan, is that if the just like Stephen Cohen, Mariner fans want Stephen Cohen.
Right.
Spin. I want all the All-Stars. That's what you want. He's not going to be that guy.
Got it. Yeah.
So as long as he's the guy that, hey, we are a playoff caliber teams in season at the trading deadline, go add the pieces that they need to put them over the top. He did that to make sure we got into the playoffs. So he did it last year. He was the owner that we need. He signed off on that deal.
Right.
And as long as he's that guy, we're good. We're going to be fine. As a matter of fact, we're going to be better than fine. We make the right moves in season. We got a World Series contender.
Doesn't the Chuck Powell with us? I want to get back again at 5:30 after Boone and talk about this Kelenic discussion before you go here and have your ninth beer here at Jimmy's on
I've
first.
Had one.
It was a big one, though. It was pretty big. I saw you drinking out of a bucket in the bathroom of Coors Light before you came on the air. The situation with this baseball team financially.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this is a really, really good baseball team already.
Yeah.
That has holes that can be filled in July.
Yeah.
Like, you could argue they're really good, but they got no left fielder. They're really good, but they don't really have a great shortstop. They're really good, but they don't really have a DH.
Okay.
So they're really good. And this is a positive now. I'm trying to be positive.
No, but I think there are a couple of things that are being missed in that conversation.
Why do I feel like I'm being scolded right now,
what
by the way?
Teams don't have holes.
Everyone, even the Astros have holes, for sure.
The Astros won the World Series
Correct.
Last year with a first baseman that hit .210, a center fielder who's not as yep. good as J.P. Crawford
about
is
their
a shortstop.
Catcher? Right.
A catcher who hit .180
Correct.
Last year.
Yes.
I mean, they had holes themselves. They had a bullpen that they patchworked together. It worked. They were outstanding. They had Rafael Montero and Ryan Stanek. Those two guys were practically written off by the entire baseball galaxy, and they were outstanding for them last year. Every team has holes in it. So even this lineup that's taking the field tonight, there are holes in it. I don't want Tommy La Stella in this lineup.
Yeah.
But you can still win when you have the best starting pitching rotation, maybe the best pitching staff in baseball, and a lineup that is better than the
yes.
one that we had a year ago.
Yep.
And both those things are true.
All right, go hit the bar. Come back yep. here at 5:30.
Okay.
Just a little secret. The hardcore stuff is in the back, okay?
Okay.
Here at Jimmy's.
Okay.
Knock twice and ask for Hector.
Absinthe.
All right. Okay. Yes. Go ask for Hector, baby.
I need some wormwood.
I love it. All right. We'll talk in a while. Okay, Chuck?
All right.
Chuck Powell's with us. We're going to break. Come back and talk to Brett Boone. And then Chuck will rejoin us at 5:30. Jerry DePoto, 6 p.m. tonight as we continue to count down to game one of 162, baby, tonight right here on 93.3 KJR-FM.